Well, this morning we are continuing our Easter Lenten season journey, and you know that we are continuing our theme, Together in Ascent, and we're using these Psalms of Ascent to guide us on Sunday mornings in our journey. And today we find ourselves in the text. We're going to look at Psalm 127. I've entitled the message, God is in the Everyday. So let's look at that text, Psalm 127, a very familiar psalm to us. In fact, it's a psalm of Solomon, we're told at the very beginning. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Verse 2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who loves. He loves. In fact, each one of these little verses or sentences actually in Hebrew begins with in vain. So the Hebrew text says, in vain you build the house unless the Lord's a part of it. In vain you watch over the city unless the Lord watches with you. And then it's translated that way in verse 2. In verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This morning, I want us to think about God in the everyday of our lives. And I want to begin with what I think we often like to see. I think we often look for God in the extraordinary and the miraculous. In fact, sometimes I get asked the question, why doesn't God perform miracles like he did in the biblical days? Y'all ever think about that or get asked that question? Why doesn't God do what he used to do? And that's an interesting question to me, as if miracles were normal in biblical days. You know, miracles weren't the norm in the biblical era. Just like they may not be in our era, at least from that perspective, if that's what you're looking for. But I would contend that God is at work all the time, and he is still a miracle-working God. And if you don't believe that, I would say stay tuned. Because our world is continuing to head toward his desired end. And certainly God has performed some incredible miracles. I mean, the Bible does record some wonderful acts of God. But have you ever noticed how many miracles in the scripture just happened in the everyday of people's lives? If you think about it. Sometimes I think maybe that escapes us. So, for example, do you remember the story in Genesis 18 when the three visitors came to see Abraham? And it turned out it was actually God visiting Abraham, and he had these angelic visitors. Y'all remember that story? And they spoke prophetic words to Abraham and said, when we come back through here this time next year, you and your wife can have a baby. Do y'all remember that? And you remember how Sarah responded? What did she do? She laughed, remember? And then they went on to have this conversation about Sodom and Gomorrah. Do y'all remember what Abraham was doing when this was a miracle? God visited Abraham. Do y'all remember what the Bible says Abraham was doing when that happened? If you go back to Genesis 18, the Bible says that Abraham was just sitting at the porch of his tent in the heat of the day. In other words, it was a hot day, and Abraham was not able to actually be out at work in the presumption is he had taken a break from whatever he was doing, and he was just sitting at home, and God showed up. Do y'all remember the miracle of the burning bush in Exodus 3? What was Moses doing? Do you remember? Praying for a miracle, right? He had asked God for a... No, what was Moses doing? Y'all remember what he was doing? Tending sheep, which was his job. Moses was just at work, just doing what he had done the day before. And the day before that, as a matter of fact, he was doing what he had done for the last 40 years. He was just working in the field, taking care of his sheep. And it was there in that normal, everyday life of Moses that God showed up in a miraculous way. Maybe if you would think about it this way, in Exodus 7, y'all know that in the ancient world, it was very common for kings and officials to just entertain audiences with normal, everyday people that they ruled over. That was particularly true in the Eastern world. You could make an appointment to see the king. It was very common. And so think about when Moses and Aaron showed up and Pharaoh saw the miracle of the staff of Aaron and Moses when they threw the staff down and it turns into a snake. And remember, all of Pharaoh's magicians and whoever they were able to turn their staffs into snakes. Remember what the snake, though, for Moses and Aaron did? It swallowed up all the rest of the snakes and then turned back into a staff. What was Pharaoh doing that morning? He was just at work. You know, that's what he did. And it was in that everyday experience, he had this miracle happen right in front of him. What about Samuel? Do you remember the story when God called Samuel? What was Samuel doing when Samuel heard his name? Samuel. He was a little boy, remember? He was staying with Eli. You remember what he was doing? Sleeping. He'd just gone to bed. And God spoke to him. And all of a sudden, the priest finally realized, this is, remember, he went back and he went in and said to the priest, I'm here. What do you want? He said, I haven't called you. And then he did it again. I haven't called you. And then the priest realized, this is God talking to you. Samuel was just sleeping. He's just going to bed. What about Gideon in the book of Judges? Y'all remember what Gideon was doing when God showed up the very first time? He was threshing wheat. He was just doing his job, and the Lord showed up. In other words, when you look at some of these incredible stories in the scripture, it's interesting to me how many times the people who experienced them were just in the everyday of their lives. It's not like they necessarily woke up that morning looking for a miracle. That really wasn't what happened. It's just how God intersected them. So I realize that we're often looking for God in the extraordinary. We're looking for the miraculous. We love to see that. But what I would contend is sometimes we will meet him in the everyday. So that leads me to this question. How often do you discover God in just the everyday of your life? How often do you, as a follower of Jesus, just sense the presence of God, the activity of God, the hand of God in just your everyday life? Because that's how these people met God in the scripture. And here's what I would tell you about God. Right now, God is at work in your life and mine. He's orchestrating circumstances that you and I may not even be aware of. He's at work in people's lives that are all around us. Right now, the Lord he's forgiving people of their sin. He's meeting them at their point of need. He's drawing people to himself. He's putting people in your path that he hopes you'll be paying attention. You heard Bob and Janie's testimony, people in their neighborhood, just in their everyday of their lives. The Lord is putting people in contact with you that perhaps they need to know a little bit about who you are and what it is that you have. And the Lord just does that kind of thing. It's amazing to me. You know, when we got back the other night, Friday night, we were supposed to get back at a certain time, but because of the bumpiness of this plane, you know, when I got off that plane, I went up to the pilots and I just said, good job, gentlemen. And one of them looked at me and went, yeah. And I was thinking, yeah, way to go. Anyway, we were about an hour late and we get off the plane and we're flying out of Love Field and it was packed with people. And finally, we realized it must be spring break. So we're making our way through. Again, we should have already been in our car halfway home easy. But instead, we're running an hour late navigating through this crowd. We're making our way out soon. We ran into a family from our church who were on their way on a trip, worried about their child, and they were making a quick trip to just go see their child. And they saw us and hollered at us, and we ran into each other, actually, almost. And they looked at us and they said, We can't believe that we've run into our pastor and his wife right now in this moment and told us what they were doing, and we stopped and we just prayed over them that God would give them what they needed in this trip with their son. Do y'all think that was accidental? That it just so happened that a little couple from our church who's a little bit distraught about their kid on their way to see their kid would run into their pastor and pastor's wife in a crowded airport when I was already supposed to be home? Y'all think those kinds of things are just accidental? Come on, y'all. You think God's not paying attention to the things that we need and allowing us to intersect in people's lives in very unique encounters? Because you know what God is doing? God is at work. He's orchestrating circumstances. Now, you might say, well, that was kind of coincidental. You know, I wouldn't call that a miracle. Well, what would you call it? In my opinion, we walked away from this sitting out, both said, isn't that interesting that here we are, hour late, and we run into a little couple who just needed to see us. And it also encouraged us to see them. The point being, how often do you see the Lord? Just in the everyday, mundane, daily grind of your life. Because here's what I want to tell y'all this morning. That's where you live. You live in the everyday. You're going to go home today and do whatever it is that you do on a Sunday afternoon. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning and it's just going to be another Monday morning. It's going to be an everyday of your life. And what I would contend is that is where we see God at work. That's what I read in this psalm. And I think it's one of the reasons that this psalm was included as a psalm of ascent, just to remind the children of Israel. They were making their way to Jerusalem. That's when they were supposed to read this psalm, perhaps monumental time in their life, but they were going to just go back home. And they needed to know that God was at work in their everyday. And so that's the testimony of Psalm 127. So here's, I guess, my core message this morning is just that God makes a difference. That's what I want to encourage you in today. God just makes a difference. So let's look at the places where God makes a difference. God makes a difference in how you cultivate the rhythms of your home life. That's really where the psalm begins. The psalm says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. What's the image of building a house? That word house is a very common word in the Hebrew Old Testament. More often than not, it just means a house, a home. Kind of how you and I would use that word. So think about it. We all have the opportunity as we become adults to build a home. And one of the things that we get the opportunity to do is to build the rhythms in our home. And that's really on us. And it's our responsibility to build those rhythms into the fabric of our homes in such a way that those rhythms actually honor and recognize God in our homes. And the psalmist is saying, if you don't do that, then all your efforts are in vain. If you don't take the time to build the rhythms of who God is and embrace who God is in your home, then you're never going to experience the beauty and the fulfillment of what the home was designed for in the first place. You're doing that and it ends up being empty. Well, how do you do that? Well, the thing is, we're supposed to build our home in such a way that we honor God. We strengthen those family ties and our connection with God. And so that means that we're reading the scripture in our homes. We pay attention to the word of God. And we're taking those truths that we discover in the word of God and we're actually putting them into practice in our homes. And we're praying and seeking God's counsel in our homes. We as families, we take the opportunity to serve in the name of Jesus. We make room for God in our homes. We recognize that God's at work in our lives. And so one of the ways we demonstrate that is that we serve Him. We make the things of God a priority. We invest in ways that honor Him. We become a part of a local community, a church, and we worship God because we believe in spiritual formation. We live in community with fellow Christians. We recognize that we build that as a rhythm into our homes, and it becomes a part of the fabric of who we are. And so being a part of a church, to me, is one of the ways that we build a house. We have family rhythms, learning how to eat together and to pray together and to, you know, how you do bedtime for the little ones and just how you acknowledge what God is doing and how you do celebrations. And, you know, here's what happens as soon as you get older. you recognize that time gets away from you, don't you? You know, yesterday afternoon, some of y'all remember Auburn Wiles, my nephew. Auburn used to live with us. Some of y'all remember Auburn's Emerson's youngest son. And what a great name for a kid, by the way. I'm just saying. But do you know, when Emerson and Mary were pastoring in Tennessee, Cindy and I were pastoring in Huntsville, Alabama, they were about 30 miles from us. And Auburn was a little boy, and Josiah was a little boy, Hannah was a little girl. And so used to, Auburn would come down, spend the night with us a lot, spend weekends with us. Sometimes Josiah would go up there. And so we have those memories of Hannah and Auburn and Josiah just playing together on our floor in our living room and spending the night and having fun and just enjoying those three little kids. And we have lots of photos and videos of them. Yesterday, Auburn, and he's married now to Annalise, they have two boys. Josiah and Adrian have Gideon. Hannah has four. And so yesterday, they were all in our house, and they were all in the living room at our home. And we were sitting there looking, and Cindy and I looked at each other, and there's Hannah, and there's Josiah, and there's Auburn. And on the floor were all the kids. And we looked at each other and said, we remember the day when it was you three on the floor playing, and now, look at here. It's all your children. We hope we've shown y'all how to do this. You know, the rhythms of my life were just played out right in front of me. As I watched this next generation, it was very encouraging to me. And it reminded me that the Lord builds the house. You build these family traditions in your home that honor God. I was reading this article the other day. There's this writer, his name is John Ferrier. He said that when he was a boy growing up in their home, Thanksgiving was a big deal to his parents. And he said, but on Friday night after Thanksgiving, their dad had convinced them that the next holiday on the American calendar was called Big Sandwich. And he said, so on Friday night, he said, my mom would get these big loaves of bread for us, you know, and brothers and sisters and our parents, and we would take those leftovers, you know, the turkey and all that, and we would all get to make our part of the big sandwich. And then when it was all ready, you'd kind of cut it up, and we would eat it and share it with each other, and then we'd put up the Christmas tree. And he said, it was just a huge tradition to us. He said, I was about 8 or 9 years old, and he said, I was at school right before the Thanksgiving break, and he said, I said something to one of my buddies, is everybody coming over for Thanksgiving? And he said, his buddy said, yeah. And he said, well, what are y'all doing for the big sandwich night? He said, his buddy said, what are you talking about? He said, you know, the big sandwich night on Friday night when we all get together. He had no idea that was just their families. And he said, but right now he's a grown man. He said, all his kids have a big sandwich night where they thank God for what they've done and put up their Christmas decorations. You know, families are in charge of that kind of stuff. We build those kind of rhythms in our home that hopefully will honor God. And the psalmist says, unless you include the Lord in it, then what you're doing is in vain. Very practical word. Then I want you to look at the next part of the text. Unless the Lord watches over the city, he says. I believe God makes a difference in how you engage in your civic responsibilities. You know, the Lord watches over our cities. And those of us who guard it, unless you include the Lord, you labor in vain. That means that we are a part of caring and protecting our communities. And so Christians, we have to keep our perspective. And I would just tell you, if there's ever a time for Christians to keep our perspective, surely it's during an election cycle. We can lose our way so easily. And it appears to me so many already have. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, the church is neither the master nor the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. Would to God that were true. Would to God we would just live into that. And so I would just say that as Christians, as we look at the political climate of whatever place we're in right now, most of you in this room are Americans. So we live in an American context. And as Christians, we should be speaking into this context from a Christian perspective, the things that we believe in. We believe in human dignity. Why? Because people are created in the image of God. And we should hold our politicians accountable to honor human dignity because we're Christians. We believe in the broad sense of justice. And so we should be praying. We participate in the political system like we participate in everything else as Christians, with anger and vengeance and hate and vitriol. Come on, y'all. Are y'all with me? Christians are not supposed to participate in anything with anger and greed and vengeance and vitriol. Are we? Is that our voice? Come on. We participate with grace and love and conviction. That's what we do. And we hold others accountable. Let's pray that somehow we as Christians will find our voice in the civic realm. And those who serve us, praying for those who serve us, Christians and non-Christians alike, praise the Lord for those who are willing to step in and serve. I would also say when I read this text, God makes a difference in your everyday work experience. I want you to look at verse 2. He says, in vain you rise up early and go to bed late, toiling for food to eat. It's an interesting way to put it. This is kind of a euphemism, so I don't want you to mishear it. He's not condemning a strong work ethic. That's not what this is. The Bible extols a good work ethic elsewhere in Scripture. That's not what this is. This is a euphemism for work gone awry. When people work for work's sake, when they work or they labor without a God perspective, and that everything they do is just about gain, it's all about gathering, they lose all perspective. When you don't have God involved, you lose the perspective you should have as a Christian in the workplace. You get to where you don't embrace the intrinsic value of work as an assignment from God, as a blessing that enables you to find your place in this old world, to help provide stability and bless the common good and provide for your family and seek God's kingdom's interest through your labor and your work. That's what work is. But when work becomes work for work's sake, and all it is so that you can gain and gather and accumulate and have power and maybe oppress others, that's what the psalmist is pointing to. He says, if you do that, if that's how you choose to work, you're going to get up early, you're going to stay up late, and you won't be able to sleep, you won't be able to rest because you're always going to be worried about it, you're always going to be concerned about it. You never have enough. The psalmist is saying, but if you have God involved, he says, well, that has a whole different perspective. In fact, God is the one who brings balance to it. Your Monday through Friday feels very differently if you see yourself on assignment from God. And then he says, if you have God involved, he says, well, then look at the end of verse 2. You're one of his beloved. It's a little bit of play on words there, y'all, because do y'all remember when God gave Solomon his real name, Jedidiah, in 2 Samuel? You know what that name means? My beloved. Remember, this is a psalm of Solomon, so many people think that's Solomon's autograph in this psalm, his signature. He kind of uses his name, if you will, a derivative of his name. But the point is, if you've got God involved and you have a good balance and a sense of why you work in the first place, you can work and rest. You can work and rest. And you realize that he has his hand on you. And then finally, he addresses your children. God makes a difference in how you relate to your children. Now, in Hebrew, there's a word that's not translated in the NIV. Verse 3, the very first word of Hebrew is behold. In Hebrew. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I'm switching gears. And then he says something really interesting about children. Here's what he says, if you look at verse 3. Children are an inheritance from the Lord. Offspring are a payment, a wage, that's what the word means, a reward from him, and they're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. It's really fascinating to me. Children are, verse 3, a heritage from the Lord. That Hebrew word heritage is found 50 times in the book of Joshua. And when it's used in the book of Joshua, it's used to refer to God giving the land to Israel. It was their inheritance. And the psalmist uses that word to say that's who children are. Isn't that interesting? I thought children were supposed to be getting an inheritance from us. Aren't they? Lest we spend it all, right? It's one of my favorite bumper stickers. I'm spending my children's inheritance. Y'all ever seen that one? What is inheritance? Well, you think it's something children are supposed to get from you. The psalmist says, actually, children are your inheritance. In other words, they are gifts from God. Why did God give the land to Israel? To secure their future. Why does God give children to God's people? To secure the future of God's people. Then he says children are like a reward. The Hebrew word is wages. Well, it's not the point that you earn children. It's the fact that they're a gift from God. A grace gift from God. And they're like arrows. They're like weapons. They're security. The idea seems to be you launch your family into the future through these children. That's how I felt yesterday. Looking on the living room floor of my house, seeing arrows in the hands of my children and my brother's children. Does that make sense? The whole future was right there in front of me. And it brings encouragement. Children are your inheritance. They're your reward. They're your future. Sometimes your children are your spiritual children. Because you may not have physical children. But both, to me, are gifts from God. They're our inheritance, our reward, our influence. And they bless others because they're such a gift from God. So when I read this text, y'all, all of this is everyday stuff. It's not miraculous per se. It's not extraordinary. Everybody that's listening to me right now, you know what it's like to live in a home. You know what it's like to go to work. You know what it's like to either raise a family or be a part of a family, be connected to a family. Here's what I would say just to bring the final point home to us this morning. God makes a difference in your everyday life. That's just the truth. That's where you live, your everyday life at the end of the day. That's why Dorothy Sayers said that time, life is so everlastingly daily. Carpe diem, seize the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. So let me just encourage you, seek God in your everyday life. Maybe you begin with just a breath of prayer. Maybe you're really busy and you think, man, I don't know that I'm gonna have time to have an hour-long encounter with God this morning. Well, then start the day with the breath of a prayer. Find time just to find his perspective that day. Look for his hand. It's amazing how you'll see it. Yesterday, we got home. Y'all must had a lot of rain while I was gone. And come on, man, stuff was everywhere. So I got home. So Saturday morning, I got up and I needed to clean our pool out. There was a lot of debris in the pool. And we have a redbud tree in the back of our yard, in our backyard. And so I'm cleaning up stuff out of the pool, and I look up, and I just see that burst of color. It's only about a week or so, and it is bright purple, and I just stood there and looked at it, and I just said, wow, thank you, Lord. You have decorated your world. I'm standing in a fake nature, right? I'm standing there cleaning out a hole in the ground that I put water in. I mean, come on. How fake can you get? But right next to it was this burst of beauty. And I just stood there. Next thing you know, I took my phone out and I just started taking photos from every angle. Man, I hope somebody can see this. Because if you didn't see this, you're going to, if you come tomorrow, you're not going to see it. And I just found myself thanking God for just showing me an expression of who he is just in that moment. So look for it. Is it in the laugh of a child or a grandchild? Is it in the tears of a child, the cry of a child? Is it in the quiet, maybe of a needed conversation with a friend? Is it the insight the Lord gives you in a moment? Is it maybe finishing a project at work? I don't know what it is. But what I would tell you is God is in it in the everyday of your life. If you'll look for him, you'll find him. And you'll have a chance to pause and thank him. And you'll see his hand. It'll just make you more sensitive to the intersections that you're experiencing with him every day that you might miss out on if you run roughshod past them. And people do it all the time, live their whole lives without ever seeing him. I would just encourage us as the people of God. God is at work. Look for him, join him, and then see what happens in your everyday. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the everyday of our lives. We know that's where you're at work. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us just to see your hand at work. And as we do, may it encourage us, bless us, call attention to it. Let others know about it to make sure they know this just isn't normal. This is you at work in our lives. And Lord, may we join you when you invite us. May we be obedient and faithful in the everyday of our lives. And who knows? One of those everyday experiences may turn into one of the greatest miracles we've ever known. We don't want to miss it. And so we ask you, Lord, give us the eyes of faith to see. In Jesus' name, amen.